Welcome to our Net4Tech podcast, our podcast for more diversity and inclusion in STEM in digital business. Net4Tech is a collaborative platform and a global network to support female careers and diverse teams in STEM in digital business. Listen to our monthly podcast about more diversity and inclusion and learn more about DEI in STEM and digital business. Because diversity matters. So, welcome to our Net4Tech podcast. My name is Moni. I'm your podcast host. And yes, today I have my special guest, Christine Koch. Christine, I'm very happy that you're here in our talk, and I'm happy to ask you a few questions about diversity and inclusion. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Before we start, I would like to introduce you, or it would be better if you introduce yourself. So please tell our listeners, who is Christine Koch?
Okay, as you already said, my name is Christine Koch. I'm born and raised in the middle of East Germany. I spent my whole childhood there. Actually, I went there to a special school. I started to learn Russian at the third grade. This was a common school until 10th grade. And after that, thanks to my parents and my hands-on mentality, I started an apprenticeship as a machine and plant fitter.
Cool.
And even that was special. It was combined with a university entrance qualification. So I made that within 3 years, both. And I think that education doesn't exist today anymore. So yeah, right after that, since I was already technical, I went to study. I studied in Leipzig and I studied technical cybernetic and automation technology. And East Germany, I started to study before the fall of the wall. And in the middle, they renamed it actually then after that to just plain electrical engineering. So I have a master's degree in electrical engineering. And after that, I landed at Microsoft. And there I spent 25 years. And that's where I actually landed in the IT industry.
Just to clarify, do you have any cultural background? So are you Bio-German or do you have any other cultures in your genes or in your DNA?
Actually, I'm plain German. But I welcomed a lot of cultural elements into my life. I always was interested in countries and cultures. And even in school already, I was dreaming of traveling. And in East Germany, that wasn't possible, but dreaming was allowed. And I was always dreaming of going to London. And actually, the first thing what I did when I was allowed to travel was going to London.
Wow, very cool.
And after my studies, I moved to Munich. And at Microsoft, I worked as a program manager in a multicultural team, people from 40 different countries. And I worked there for 15 years.
Wow.
And so I was exposed to many cultures. And actually, on one of my business trips, I had a trip to a vacation trip on the weekend, and I met my partner. And actually, he is from Trinidad.
That's so cool.
From Germany. So I had Trinidad already in my family. We actually have a long distance relationship since then. And he lives in the USA and in the States. And I live in Germany and we have a daughter and he's actually black. So that adds another dimension to our family.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about your long distance relationship, because now even when we think about all this remote stuff and Corona and the pandemic and blah, 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 you know, would you be so kind to just tell our listeners about the three best tips and tricks for people who have a long distance relationship, just for fun?
Okay, I can do that. This is not so so far away from working in teams, actually. So technology has always helped us a lot to stay in touch with the phone, video, text messages, FaceTime, you know. And I think the first is trust. It takes just essential for both parties to have a lot of trust. Otherwise, it leads to doubt, jealousy, suspicion, or even paranoia, you know. This is also a base in teams, right? And the second one is communication. It's also a key in any relationship. Doesn't need to be a long distance relationship. So, but with a long distance relationship, I think you should share your life as much as you can, even small things that makes you feel closer. Share the good and the bad. And I mean, we have a daughter, she's 12 years old. Integrate the children in the conversation. Talk often. So we talk every day, even if it's just 5 minutes. And the third one is willpower, commitment. If you aren't willing to put in the time for your partner, then it doesn't work out, you know. You have to tell also how much he means to you and how much you miss him. It wouldn't work even if you have, again, a relationship where your partner is closer to you. It's just the same. But I would say trust, communication, and commitment.
Okay, let's move on from the personal part to the passion part. So is there anything specific where you can say, okay, this is really my passion and I live for that, I exemplify it, or I'm very engaged in that topic. So is there anything you want to share with our listeners?
I can tell you a little more about me again, where it comes from, how I reached my passion. A couple of years back, I developed my own philosophy, which is help and inspire with creativity, honesty, and trust to learn and grow forever. I could probably shorten that, but I like to have it that long because mm-hmm. I like to help people, inspire people, and learning and growing is a big thing. So I like to foster a growth mindset combined with change management. I like to help people to feel included in a diverse world. So diversity and inclusion is actually my passion. After I left Microsoft, I studied diversity and inclusion during the pandemic, actually, and then Cornell University in New York. And since then, I also active at Net4Tech. Diversity and inclusion is on the rise right now. And it's not only diversity and inclusion, it even extends to belonging. And a lot of companies are using the momentum right now to kick off initiatives. And I'm very happy to support them in doing that.
In our pre-talk before the actual podcast talk today, we talked about your background and that you always were in touch with diversity and inclusion. Can you tell us why you always were into that DEI topics? Is that because of Microsoft? Is it a mix of everything about your childhood or now your long distance relationship, or where does it come from?
Yeah, it's actually a mix of everything, but I don't even know it different. I call myself a diversity native because mm-hmm. When I went to school already, and I told you when I went to that school in third grade, so one of my classmates, he was Black, was one of my best friends, and he was never discriminated or so because of his skin color. And I think owe that to my parents, maybe. They were always open to everything. I was raised to accept every person, regardless age, race, gender, anything. My education, though, was always in a male-dominated environment when I look at my studies. But I did not see it myself. You know, I was proud of it to be there and to show that it can be done as a girl. Mm-hmm. And just later, I noticed that this was considered not so normal for females. And actually in 2003, I think it was 2003, there was the year of people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And I volunteered to be in the task force for that. And besides that, I also had a close relationship to the development team from Microsoft and Redmond regarding assistive technologies. So this was also a part of it. I have also a personal interest in all the, my parents are getting older. I want to help them to stay integrated, you know, especially with the technology. So to bring them closer to that and to support them and give them their freedom to do the things. I worked in an international team covering 40 countries. I said that already. So this has exposed me to so many cultures, to so many different aspects, yeah, perspectives. It's just diversity is just such a nice bouquet of ideas. And I met so many people. Yeah, that's what always makes me curious to learn more in this space and show other people how good it is, how valuable it is to be in a diverse world.
I totally understand and I agree with you. And I think at Microsoft, I heard it a lot from other people and also from our ambassadors from Microsoft. They are working a lot of unconscious bias trainings or for more diverse and inclusive atmosphere at Microsoft. So if you think about your Microsoft time where you worked there, there were a lot of unconscious bias trainings, you told me, and other trainings that sensitized the topic D&I or the topics D&I. So my question would be, do you find that these kinds of seminars, trainings, and co are effective for a more diverse and inclusive world? And is it possible to really implement sustainably these trainings in the corporate culture? So would you recommend to implement these trainings? Or do you say we have to do more than just trainings and et cetera?
Yeah, exactly. Yes and no. An unconscious bias training alone will not stop discrimination. It doesn't change anything. It needs a combination of several aspects, you know. In any case, it's a start. It's important to start the conversation somewhere. Every journey starts with the single step, right? When I remember I attended my first unconscious bias training, I thought this is not necessary, but I was told otherwise. There are tests on the internet that you can do, and they ask you certain questions and you have to answer as fast as possible. And they check for certain dimensions, your unconscious bias. You know, and I chose a topic where I thought I'm very, very conscious about. But after the test, I was told otherwise. Oh my gosh. But this is a fast reaction that you give, you know. I did not expect the result. I was like, oh my, I have to pay even more attention, you know. And if that is just one of the topics that I have such an unconscious bias, then the others might be even, worse, let's say it like that. You know, very important to raise awareness for unconscious bias. And yes, a training is one brick for doing that. So I think a good thing is also to share real stories, let affected people speak, people from underrepresented groups. You know, there are so many things what you can do. When you kick off your diversity and inclusion strategy, I would just recommend to analyze what you have and identify a couple of areas and start with two of them where you implement things like whether it's an employee resource group or if it's just a work-life balance program, and then go from there step by step and add on that. And you have to also guide your employees, so you cannot overwhelm them with too much information. They also, everybody is on his own journey.
What do you think about unconscious bias? Why are unconscious bias so dangerous? How would you explain? Or because I think unconscious bias, there's a big difference between unconscious bias and prejudices.
Okay, so
I can tell you that test that I did was about LGBTQ groups.
And I thought, I mean, I have friends who are gay and I'm open to same-sex relationships, for instance, you know, but out of that test came that I have a bias for more the other side, you know, and I was really, I thought, I don't get that. I mean, I see the people around me and I'm, I have a normal relationship with them. I even went to the Pride Parade and I supported the community within Microsoft, you know. Mm-hmm. this result in that test, you know.
Where can we do that test? Do you know any links, or
yes,
do we find it if we Google it?
I can share a link with you.
Perfect. That would be great because I would love to do that too.
So there are many different things. You can choose whatever you like, many areas that you can try out. And I would recommend that, actually. So to really, it's an eye opener.
I would love to do that. That would be really great if you can share it with me afterwards. And I can also put it on our show notes so the listeners can just check on their biases too, if they want. Yeah, but now I would ask you a last question because I took your time till now. I just want you to have now your free time. So the last question would be, if you think about DEI atmosphere and making sure that our companies are implementing an DEI atmosphere in future, what would you recommend to other companies? How can they contribute to a more diverse work culture within the company or the organization?
I think you have to look at what you already have in your company. If you have already diversity initiatives or not. So let's assume you don't have one. I would recommend that you clarify what diversity means for your company. Mm-hmm. It should be a top priority, diversity and inclusion, or however you want to extend it, diversity, inclusion, and belonging. You should have a mission, like a code of conduct, what it really means. So there are many companies who have that, and they share that broadly. So you can even get input from there. First, it has to come from the management, has to have support from management. But everybody should be involved. Like at Microsoft, everybody has an D&I goal, which is great. Everybody is working towards that, and everybody needs to be or is held accountable for it. Not only employees, leaders, everybody. So, and then when you know where to invest, like take two initiatives and start with that, share stories, raise awareness, and amongst the employees, you could say somebody is a champion and they foster that even. So I know that also from Microsoft, they have ambassadors. I was an ambassador myself, and I was a diversity and inclusion champ for a while. So they are role models, you know, and as I said, everybody is on its own journey, and some are further already and some are at the beginning. And so they can learn from each other. I think that would be the way to go.
You shared a lot of good insights, very good insights with us, especially in my opinion, Microsoft would be now a company to admire in this case, because they are working so hard for DEI. And I never realized that or I never knew that before. So it's really cool that you have these trainings and seminars, and then you really try to ensure a more diverse and inclusive working atmosphere with champs and all these other things, you name it. And yeah, I really thank you for sharing your insights with us in this podcast, because I think they're very valuable for us.
You're very welcome, and thank you. That you invited me.
Yeah, it was a really great pleasure to talk with you about that. Christina, many, many thanks for taking your time. And I will definitely link below the test you will send me afterwards in the show notes, and also your LinkedIn profile, because in my opinion, you also did a lot of seminars and tests, and I think I can remember that you are also certified a few DEI topics. I don't know if I'm right.
Yeah, I have a certification for diversity and inclusion. Yes.
So I think there would be many people who are or who would love to get into contact with you to share knowledge, and maybe you want to help them in future.
Yeah, that would be great. I'm looking forward to that.
Perfect. So many, many thanks, dear listeners, for listening to our great podcast with Christine Koch. I will link down below, as I said, the LinkedIn profile, the test, and etc. And yeah, please keep in touch with us or stay in touch with us in future. You will be amazed which podcasts we have in our pipeline. Next month will be the next one published. So have a nice day, take care, and talk to you soon.